Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Hello, guys. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, joined by the human hand grenade Danny Only and Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins. And, excuse me, guys, I've got bad news and good news tonight. I'll do the bad news first. Rowdy Roddy Piper was scheduled to be our guest tonight because he's going to be in town for the Days of the Dead horror convention next weekend. But he's filming WWE's Legends House, and they took his phone away, and he's cut off from the outside world until, I guess, he gets out to do the convention, and then he has to go back to the Legends House. So he is unable to join us tonight.
Oh, darn.
But the good news is Wrestling with Pop Culture is celebrating its first birthday this month with a big event on March 28th at the Masquerade that will feature Monstrosity Championship Wrestling, some local bands, Death is a Dialogue, and Knee Deep. Lots of other stuff. So we'll talk more about that in the next coming weeks, but hope everyone can join us there. It's on a Wednesday night. It'll be after the screening, the Atlanta Film Festival screening of The Booker, which is the PCW documentary. So kind of an unofficial after party sponsored by Pabst Blue Ribbon. So there will be plentiful beer for Danny Only and his friends.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
There will be, it's sponsored by Creative Loafing, Scout Mob, Ox's Ring Rentals, and a few others. I'll remember some of them later. But in lieu of Rowdy Roddy Piper, what's that?
Can we get back to the PBR part?
There will be PBR.
I was just about to say, indie wrestler Eric Cannon on Twitter, at Eric Cannon, A-R-I-K-C-A-N-N-O-N. Eric Cannon is now officially the PBR independent wrestler. I'm not sure exactly what that means. I think Eric Cannon has become the first wrestler to be sponsored by a beer company.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So well, that might be the first wrestling website to be sponsored by a beer company. I'm not sure. I'll have to look into that.
That's pretty awesome.
So, yes, there will be PBR at the event. I think we mentioned that. anyway, so in lieu of Rowdy Roddy Piper, we have someone else that's going to be at the Days of the Dead Festival calling in a little while. His name is Professor Morte. He hosts the Silver Scream Spook Show at the Plaza Theater, and he's also involved with Monstrosity Championship Wrestling in some way. So he will talk a little bit about that. And Danny Only helped us get another guest. They'll call in a little bit later. Why don't you tell us a little bit about him, Danny?
One half of one of the most recognized tag teams in Florida wrestling of the past 10 years, Black Market. Sean Murphy will be calling in. He is one of the head trainers at the 01 USA training camps. He has recently made the move to MMA, where he's been dominating. And he's going to call in and talk about Wrestling 01 Japan MMA and part of the reason that he got out of wrestling. He recently did. So it should be an interesting interview. Sean's a good guy, so interested to hear what he's got to say.
Yeah, well, I guess our guests are about as opposite as you can get on the wrestling spectrum, which should make it interesting, to say the least.
Yep.
So, but let's talk about last weekend's events. We always start on Friday with Empire/Platinum Championship Wrestling, which was a good show, as usual. Danny Only had a part in that show. Would you like to discuss that?
Yeah, we were in a three-on-three match with Damnation, consistent of me, Phantom, and Wild Child, Joey Kidman. Against We Are Three, the Monster Jeter, Brian Blaze, and Aisha Sunshine, or Miss Aisha, or Aisha, whatever the hell she calls herself now. And the team of the Empire, consisting of Silent Cross, Master J, and the returning Mr. Eric. And in that contest, Damnation came out on top when Phantom was the last one left and pinned Brian Blaze, who was the last one left. So we came out on top.
Yeah, I guess you got some redemption for the last show at the Masquerade over We Are Three.
A little bit. I was able to chase Malik down and knock his dick in the dirt like I promised I would. So that was a little redeeming, but yeah, we got a win, but we didn't quite get a receipt, a return on investment against either one of those two teams. So I'm sure we'll meet again.
You did get a taste of brown sugar, though. So
it seems like a
win in my book.
Yeah. She didn't know what she had coming.
So let's see. Saturday, I attended TNT Pro Wrestling up in Clayton. It was my first time seeing that show, and the Hate Junkies, Danny Only and Strychnine, retained their tag team titles.
Of course.
Jagged Edge maintained his undefeated streak up there with Marty Freeman in his corner, and Marco Polo, I believe, was making his debut up there. Has he wrestled there before, Danny?
Not when I was there. I'm not going to say he hasn't because I don't know, but you know, I missed all of last month due to a suspension for laying my hands on somebody I shouldn't have. So Marco Polo could have been there last month. I don't know.
Well, I'm pretty sure that was his debut, but either way, a lot of people that we're used to seeing here in Atlanta made their way up there for that. So it was a pretty good show. Did you go to any other shows on Saturday, Matt?
I was returned to the great state of Alabama for the first time in a while for ACW over in Carbon Hill. And same story there. There's a lot of guys that I'm used to seeing here in the Atlanta area made the trip as well. So it's a really good show. Pleasant surprise. You know, you never know what to expect the first time you go to a show, but this was a really good one.
Was that the one that Hayden Young was part of?
Yes. Saw Hayden there, Vandal, De La Vega, Narcissism, and I guess the low light of the evening was a surprise appearance by the reigning Empire champion, one Shane Marks.
Okay.
And Brian Blaze as well. So, and true to form, Marks dominated there as well, much to my chagrin, but a good show. They opened that thing up with a great match. Second one we've seen in a little while between Narcissism and De La Vega, and I'm here to tell you, they've got chemistry. It was an excellent match, back and forth action, a little more room there than we have in Avondale at the Academy Theater, so got to fly around a little bit more. It was a really good night.
All right. Well, what else did we have last weekend? I guess that was pretty much it.
Yeah, that's all I can think of. Let's talk about tomorrow when I go to UIW and get to beat up Kyle Matthews again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun. It's always fun to tangle with Kyle Matthews. The guy is light years ahead of where most people should be. You know, he's one of the top wrestlers in the state. Obviously, he was Wrestler of the Year and Technician of the Year for the past 3 years. So, anybody in the Carrollton area should come out and check it out tomorrow. I can't remember the name of the venue off the top of my head, but it's a skate center.
Spinner's Skate Center.
Spinner's, there you go. Spinner's Skate Center.
And they have stacked the deck with that card for Tuesday night especially. I mean, it is stacked.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I noticed it earlier today. I was looking at it. And I believe that is only the second time Danny Only and Kyle Matthews will be facing off in singles competition. Is that right?
That is right. The first time was at Empire, and I came out victorious. And this is the second time, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
it was an absolute classic.
It was, definitely. I think a lot of people were surprised to see Danny Only wrestle instead of just, you know, do the power thing and the brawl thing.
Yeah,
so,
I can do a little
turning. kind of, you know, that was right in the time where you were kind of thinking about maybe getting out of the Empire, and sort of, you sort of let it all out. You showed us a little more than, like you said, a little more than we used to get to see. But, you know, when you're in there with Kyle, I guess you better be ready to do everything.
Yeah, man, Kyle's the kind of guy you can't just pound on. You know, he's one of the toughest dudes around. I mean, he's been to Japan. He's had the shit kicked out of him, you know, so he's not like a lot of the other punks you can just beat up and throw on the ground, you know. So I had to pull some out, and Kyle brought out the best wrestling in me, so I was appreciative.
Who else is on that card? I forget.
Yeah, I do too.
I think Chip Day's on that card.
Oh yeah, Chip Day, and he's wrestling Bobby someone Moore. Good.
Chip Day's wrestling Bobby Moore.
Okay,
I'm not familiar with him. Terry Lawler and Billy Knight are wrestling So Fine, Frankie Valentine, and Josh Storm. So that should be good. I like watching Frankie wrestle, man. He's fun to watch. He's also fun to wrestle. I'd like to wrestle that guy at least once a week for the rest of my career if I could.
He's the one that knocked you out, isn't he?
Yeah, man. Well, he was the weapon that I knocked myself out with.
Right, right.
By proxy. He knocked you out by proxy.
He did. He knocked me out by proxy. It was his knee, but it was my lariat that caused it to happen. So.
Yeah. We saw your lariat on Saturday. What's the little guy's name? He threatened to tie his bow tie around his butthole.
Yeah, that was Ryan Bonebreak. He wasn't expecting that, I don't think. But he got involved in our business, and me and Strychnine don't play that. We don't care who you are. We don't care what side of the fence you're on. You don't mess with us. You don't get involved in our shit. And that's what him and Chad Silva did, and they got... they got their just desserts, and Bonebreak almost got his face broken. So maybe they'll think next time. Who knows?
We'll see. Well, when is the next TNT show? Do those run every 2 weeks?
Yeah, the next one is March 17th, which is the same day as the Mark Grayson, Will Grayson Tag Team Memorial, which me and Strychnine are also a part of.
Right.
So we've got the potential to be wrestling four matches in one day. assuming we win assuming we make it to the finals of the tag tournament, that's three matches. And then, you know, once we win, we have to drive up to TNT and wrestle again. So that'll be four times in one day. But we can do it. I can't think of another tag team in the state of Georgia who's better than us. So just another day of kicking someone's ass.
That'll definitely be a good showcase of tag teams from what I've seen. Announced the part of that tournament. I know Talent Money's part of it, and I would assume Hot Like Lava.
Yes, they are.
The Washington Bullets, are they in that?
I think so.
I believe Frankie Valentine's teaming with somebody in that show as well, I believe.
Frankie and Josh are teaming there again. Let me see. You got C.B. Gibson and Tommy Daniels. The Hate Junkies, Hot Like Lava, Talent Money, Chip Day and Corey Hollis, and I can't remember if there's anybody else. Doesn't matter, though. The Hate Junkies are on it, so that's all you need.
Josh Storm is in a position to get his education real quick. He's kind of young in the game, but he's been being put in a lot of places to learn a lot of stuff. So.
Yeah, and he surrounds himself with a lot of people who've been around for a minute, you know. He's around Frankie, and, you know, obviously being around Frankie, he's around Doug Summers. So he's got the potential to learn a lot. So we'll see how he does with that.
Now, speaking of young guys who are kind of in that position now, Danny, what do you think about the progression of the Wild Child? You know, you kind of took him under your wing, so to speak, with your group there in Empire. Do you think he's coming along right?
My critiques of Joey Kidman are the classic, he's young, dumb, and full of cum. You know, he's a good talent, he's got a good build, he's got a good mind, and he wants to do good, but he's just young and he's green. He's only 19 years old, so he does dumb stuff. He does a lot of the dumb stuff that I saw myself doing when I was that age. You know, so, yeah, I kind of...
I kind of want to help them out to not, you know, not do some of the same stuff that I did. But he's definitely got potential, man. He if he can wrap his head around, you know, doing more stuff that makes sense as opposed to doing more stuff to do more stuff, then he can be really, really good. He's already, I think he's good. And like I said, I see
his head attached, so he must not be too bad if you hadn't taken his head off yet.
No, not yet. I mean, I'm far from anybody, but you know, I like him, so we'll see how it turns out.
Well, I've seen him for a while now, and I think his progression is coming along.
Absolutely, and he's obviously accomplished a lot, which we've talked about on previous shows just in the past few weeks or months. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes in the next few months as well. But I want to introduce our first guest. I don't know if you guys have ever been to the Silver Scream Spook Show at the Plaza Theater, but it's like an old-school horror movie show live on stage. They show old movies, and before that, it's like a almost Pee-wee's Playhouse-like sketch comedy slash burlesque show hosted by none other than Professor Morte, and he's going to be at the Days of the Dead Festival or Days of the Dead Convention this weekend, and that's where Roddy Piper will be, as we mentioned earlier, and he's also somehow involved with Monstrosity Championship Wrestling, so I want to bring him on the line and welcome him to the show.
Whoa, great. Here I am.
Professor Morte.
Yes.
You are on the line with Jonathan Williams. That's me, Danny Only, and Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins, who is a super wrestling fan, who you've probably
Fantastic.
Seen.
Fantastic.
He's been at
Team
all the...
Team All You Can Eat.
Team All You Can Eat. They're the guys in the front row at the PCW shows that you've been to.
Oh, yeah. Great. I can tell those guys like the all you can eat stuff, right?
They Absolutely. Like wrestling and they like buffets.
They like wrestling and food.
Yes.
Sometimes wrestling and food, probably.
if the option presents itself, without a doubt.
I think there's a word for that. They call it splooshing. I don't know.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Wrestling and food, you know, two great things that go together. So
America.
So what are you guys talking about? Like wrestling holds, like strangle holds and things like that, and swinging neck breakers, and you know that's you're talking my kind of language on this show.
Yeah, we talk about all that stuff from time to time. We were talking about Danny Only's Lariat a few minutes ago, but we talk about wrestling, and today we're going to talk about horror convention as well.
About scary wrestling, which we tried to bring that to the. To this Days of the Dead thing, but the hotel shut us down. They said they just could not cover the insurance involved with bleeding wrestlers and splooshing wrestlers and things like that all over the place. So they decided that it was not the venue for Monstrosity Championship Wrestling. So it's a good thing we found a venue at the Masquerade on your show that we're going to do. If you want to talk a little bit about that.
Well, yeah. I'd like you to talk about it. I know you guys or Monstrosity debuted last October at the Atlanta Zombie Apocalypse, and I think the rumors have been rampant that the Centers for Disease Development, which is what caused the zombie outbreak there, may have had something to do with the monsters in the ring. But I guess maybe you can help us clear that up and kind of tell us what your role is with MCW.
Well, with MCW, I just, you know, I'm a big fan of the Mexican wrestling, and I've actually gone down to Mexico and watched, you know, Santo wrestle in the Great Arena, Mexico, and, well, Son of Santo now, and the Blue Demon, all those guys, and those guys actually made more horror movies, like Santo made more horror movies than any horror star in any country. You know, he made more horror movies than Paul Maschi's werewolf movies. He made more horror movies than Boris Karloff or Lon Chaney. I mean, the guy really was prolific in this scene. And to me, monsters and wrestling go together, you know. It's like the whole Godzilla you know, the whole hoopla of Godzilla had to deal with wrestling monsters. So
right.
I decided that it would be a great thing if we had monster wrestling and done right. You know, you see kaiju, I don't know if you're familiar with the kaiju battle wrestling, but it's basically, you know, a bunch of guys that wish they were wrestlers that didn't have the right training and whatnot, and they get in their monster suits and they roll around in a ring that they made out of, you know, mattresses and whatnot. I just wanted to pick it up and do it right, and I talked to Stephen Platinum about him being interested, and he was. He's really into different sorts of theater and performance, and we talked about some of the, you know, they already have some horror elements in PCW with that little guy Supernatural, who,
and the Phantom.
Yeah, the Phantom, and, I mean, there are horror elements already, and I just thought we should pump this up and have monsters and you know, ghoulish gals as, you know, title card girls and vampires for valets and whatnot, and we had a couple meetings, and it went great, and we debuted it at the AZA, and it was amazing. You know, hundreds of people out there watching that stuff, and they loved it. So, you know, me personally, I've always wanted to see the Frankenstein monster wrestle the Wolfman in a wrestling ring, so it was a dream come true for me. And I'm working with these PCW guys. They're actually, you know, not only are they some of the best wrestlers, but they are very good at improvisation. You
yeah,
know,
we had some of them call in. John Williams from the Washington Bullets called in after one of the, I guess the first show. He showed up to what he thought was just going to be a wrestling match, and then he saw all these monsters and like a devil versus preacher match and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And
it was real fun. I can't wait to really do it again, you know, with some more planning and whatnot, you know, because that type of year is very busy for me with all the zombies and all the spook show stuff. So it was great to kind of just throw it together. And, you know, that's how I like to do the spook show. You know, we never rehearse the spook shows. They're all improvised. And it gives the show a real vital feeling, you know, because you never know what's going to happen. Is the show going to fall apart and go right down the tubes, or is it going to be, like, great? And how are they going to save this? You know, you never know. And it's kind of like that with wrestling, you know, because that stuff's real, too. It's happening right there live. You know, everybody that thinks wrestling is fake and rehearsed, they apparently don't know how it works. And it's interesting to see how this is going to work with the spook show and wrestling combined. So we're all very excited. You know, I don't think that this hotel was the proper venue in the first place. This hotel's kind of swanky. You know, and I like to make a little bit of a mess like these all-you-can-eat guys. You know, when they wrestle, they like to throw ketchup and french fries all over the place. I like to throw blood and guts. So we'll see what happens when we can, you know, go to a place like the Masquerade that's used to having gore play. So they won't be very upset when the blood and the guts start flying around.
Right, and they host the PCW shows every month or two.
Well,
so
yeah, that last show I went to with Iceberg, bleeding all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that,
and Jay
that,
Fury.
That was some big mess. Yeah, mm-hmm. Jay Fury and the guys were bleeding all over the place. They had to drop that Iceberg guy down the lift. they bring all the gear up and down in that lift. That poor guy was in there, like, slobbering and bleeding all over the place. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So, I liked him. Maybe you could get him involved. He could be like Tor Johnson or something. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tor Johnson that bleeds.
Well, I'd like to see him fighting a monster for sure. I think that'd be entertaining.
He is a monster. Yeah, we wouldn't even need makeup on him, you know.
Be a pretty even fight.
Save a little budget, yeah. So that show is really something else. So, and I'm excited to see what this can do, because there's nothing else like it. There's this movie coming out called Monster Brawl, and I don't know if you guys have seen this. I saw the trailer. It looks like a lot of fun, but I'd like to see it happen live. And it, to my knowledge, nothing like this is happening right now, unless you go to Mexico, because most of those matches down there, they do involve werewolves and things like that sometimes.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. You know, this is something that John Waterhouse and I worked on years ago. We actually pitched it to the Sci-Fi Channel and some other places. They weren't interested, but, you know, now that wrestling, you know, with McMahon's show, it's pretty terrible stuff. They need to inject it with some new blood. So I think the MCW could be the next big thing if somebody, you know, the network or something, take a chance on this thing.
Absolutely. Well,
you know,
I'm definitely
see how far it can go.
I'm looking forward to seeing it, and I'm happy to have it part of the Wrestling with Pop Culture anniversary party. That's going to be on March 28th, which is a Wednesday night.
Yes, Wednesday night.
At the Masquerade. We've got bands. Some of the other sponsors I failed to mention earlier are Criminal Records and CrossFit. I forget the name of it. I'll look it up in a minute. It's where
Criminal
Marco
Records,
Fuller is.
Somebody needs to sponsor them.
Yeah, well, that's why I reached out to them. I know they're struggling, so it's more of a promotional thing for them, but they're going to give us some gift cards to raffle off and things like that, and I think they're going to have someone there with a table set up and everything. So,
yeah. And we'll have stuff from the Plaza Theater, too. You know, it's not like we can afford to sponsor anything either, but we'll still be out there with some movie tickets and things like that also. So
all
make
right,
this
well,
thing a big event, you know. The Masquerade is pretty scary enough on a Wednesday night. I can't wait to see what goes down in there.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it, and we got to get ready for our next guest, so I appreciate you calling in, Morte. We will talk more
Fantastic.
About the show.
Yeah, and even if you guys, you know, you're let down that there wasn't going to be wrestling at the Days of the Dead, we're still going to do a spook show on Saturday night, and the AZA, the Atlanta Zombie Apocalypse, is going to have a makeup thing on Sunday, so we're still going to do lots of fun stuff down there, and the show sounds great, so hope to see you guys down at the Days of the Dead Con also.
Yep, and Roddy Piper is still going to be there. Is there any other, are there any other
wrestlers? Yeah, I just watched They Live the other night. That movie really holds up. And, the Hot Rod himself, Roddy Piper is going to be there. I don't know about any other wrestlers.
Well, I think the website for that is daysofthedead.net/Atlanta. And is there a Silver Scream Spook Show website?
There's a Silver Scream Spook Show website and a Facebook page. So you can keep up with us through that and AtlantaZombieApocalypse.com. So go look up all this stuff and get your eyes melted out of your head.
All right. Well, again, thanks a lot, Morte. And we'll talk more about the Monstrosity Show over the next few weeks as we find out which monsters will be taking on each other and things like that.
Sounds great. Well, thanks for having me on the show, and good luck, and I'll see you soon.
All right. You have a good night.
Okay. Good night.
Bye. All right. We're going to go to a commercial break right now, and then we should have our next guest calling in just a few minutes.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Red Gunkel or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire,
formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling.
Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling
at the Academy Theater in Avondale State.
We're also at the Masquerade every month or so.
Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling.
And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire.
Formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
And welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. Guys, what did you think of Professor Morte and his Monstrosity Championship Wrestling?
I think it should be fun. I could have talked to this dude all night.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll have him on again, because I definitely want to keep letting people know about the show. And I'm just curious what they have in store. We don't even know, you know, who's wrestling or anything yet. So,
well, I like the concept. I thought it was kind of funny. You know, he was talking about how he had people that were into monster movies and stuff like that, and they, they wanted to wrestle, but they weren't properly trained, and they didn't know what they were doing. They were doing their own thing, and I was like, that kind of sounds like a lot of companies in Georgia, except they don't dress up like monsters. They try to dress up like wrestlers.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
When I think Smoky Mountain, I believe, had a Freddy Krueger and a Jason Voorhees character. I remember being just a kid and being just riveted by that. I didn't know any better then, but I was all over that.
Yeah. Well, I love watching stuff on YouTube with, like, Mexican and Japanese wrestlers, where there'll be, like, a Japanese guy dressed up like a robot, and he comes out to, like, the Transformers theme song. I've seen this one Mexican clip over and over where there's, like, a little midget dressed in a green gorilla suit.
Yeah, and
he gets drop kicked and does like a backflip.
he's a pretty popular character over there, so.
Well, anyway, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Maybe we should have kept him on for our next guest to talk to. It sounds like, from what you've told me, Danny, that's the kind of stuff that he's into talking about, is, you know, the current state of wrestling and all that. So, actually, I believe we have him on the line now, so if you want to introduce him, Danny.
I will, ladies and gentlemen, for your listening pleasure. Former one half of one of the most dominant teams in Florida wrestling, Black Market. Current MMA and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu monster. 0-1 fighting spirit trainer and nature enthusiast, Sean Murphy.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Sean? How are you?
Appreciate you calling in last minute like that, and good to have someone that I'm not that familiar with on the show, so I'm going to let Danny kind of handle most of this, but I am curious, I'm sure a lot of people are not that familiar with 0-1, so tell us a little bit about that, and it's a Japanese promotion, so that's about all I know about it.
Why, to tell you the truth, I don't really know that much about it either. what it is it's one of a few of the companies in Japan that's slowly but surely building up a nice fan base. They're more comparable, from what I hear, to a Ring of Honor rather than a WCW in Japan, but they're still a very, very respected company. I just happen to be the right person at the right time as far as being a 0-1 trainer. As you guys may know, my ex-tag team partner and one of my best friends is the Sheik, who plenty of controversy around him as far as the NWA and all that stuff is concerned. Mm-hmm. But he's in good over there, and the owner, Mr. Nakamura, went ahead and let Joe, you know, find talent here in America in probably one of the best ways to do it, you know, instead of just saying, oh, you know, I'm going to fly myself over to Japan. Now you can win your shot.
Okay, so it's not like Dragon Gate bringing its show, making America, an American version of its show. It's more like kind of the opposite of that, it sounds like.
Yeah, you know what it is? Gaijin talent in Japan is always a draw.
Yeah.
Much like midgets are here in America, Americans are over in Japan. And anytime you can find a talent that can, you know, that looks good, that wrestles, you know, it's, you know, they like it. Much like you've seen with Aki Bono is in the company, the Sheik, all kinds of people have made their way through 01, up to and including, I'm pretty sure, Brian Danielson, CM Punk, all those guys have all gone through there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, as far as, like, I don't know if Danny's told you, but I've been kind of out of the wrestling scene for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
It was just one of those things where it wasn't so much a time thing as more or less a feeling like it was time to get out. I wasn't hurt, wasn't getting old, wasn't feeling that. It just wasn't the same as, you know, this would have been my 15th year in the business. And wrestling is just, it's a dying, I don't want to say it's a dying sport, but it's definitely in one of the downturns that we've seen, you know, cycle over the years. So, you know, and once I started feeling, you know, this really isn't who I am, it was time for me to get out.
Well, what do you attribute that to, the fact that it's, that you think it's on a downturn in recent years?
Well, bottom line is, MMA is what pro wrestling was supposed to be.
Right.
What's the biggest draw in pro wrestling? What was back in the day, you know, what was the biggest match you could have? Biggest match you could have was a cage match. You know, I remember WrestleMania 3, you know, Hogan at, was it Bundy in WrestleMania 3, or was that, no. Can't remember
that
which one that was.
I think Hogan and Bundy in the cage.
Yeah.
Because there was
and
Hogan
the big
and Andre in 3. But, you know, the cage was the big match. And now in MMA, every match is a cage match. So I think that's attributed to, you know, wrestling's downfall. Not only that, just a lot of bad press. You know, all these wrestlers dying at a young age. You know, and you know, we just lost another one, you know, what was it, 2 days ago with Doug Furness.
Right.
So, it's one of those things. If you talk to the Sheik, he'll tell you, man, wrestling is cyclical. It goes down, it goes up. You know, it was big in the 50s, it was kind of down in the 60s. Up again in the 70s, down in the late 70s, early 80s till, you know, Hulkamania. You know, then we had the early 90s, and then we had the boom at the end of the 90s. But, you know, and I hope I'm wrong. I really do. You know, I hope wrestling does come back.
Do you think that the rise of MMA has sort of diluted the pool of young guys who would come into the business? We're used to, maybe they would pick wrestling as an option. Now they go into MMA just because it's on the uptick right now.
Well, I would say yeah, because the bottom line in wrestling is you have to look like a wrestler. You know, if you want to make it in the wrestling business, you have to have size, you have to have muscles. You know, you have to care about what you look like. When it comes to MMA, there's a belt at every weight. So, you know, you don't have to come in weighing 170 and build yourself up into a 250-pound monster. You could stay at 170 and fight at 170. And, you know, it's just, you know, and the bottom line is when Vince came out, what was it, 2000, 2001, when he said, yes, this is fake. You know, this is predetermined. It's not real. Mm-hmm. That was the death. That was the real death of the business right there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much universal opinion that people agree on that one.
And he didn't have to do that. He was making money hand over fist. He just wanted to beat WCW. But they were both making money hand over fist. And it was, he made sure that wrestling, because Vince hates wrestling. Everybody will tell you that. That's why he stopped letting the quote unquote superstars not use the word wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wrestling business. what are they supposed to use, But and then just last week when they released those insider term shirts, mm-hmm. Holy crap, man. it's become a joke in itself. And then you got guys busting their ass on the indies trying to get noticed, trying to get somewhere, and all you need to do is play football for a Division I team and be seen by some talent scout now.
What do you think, since we're kind of talking about that bridge between wrestling and MMA, what do you think about guys like Sonnen and some of the other guys that kind of cut these, and Brock Lesnar to a degree when he was on top, that will cut these wrestling-style promos at the end of their matches or, during the build-up to those matches? Do you think that will have a negative effect on wrestling as more and more people can get everything that they would get from a wrestling match from an MMA show?
I don't think so, because the one thing that MMA is missing is continued storylines. In wrestling, you'll have a storyline that'll last, 3 months. What is it, like the culmination every 3 or 4 months at the major pay-per-views, What happens with MMA is you got a month, maybe 2 months leading up to the fight, you got a storyline for that long, and then it's done. So I don't think it's genius to bring wrestling into MMA. I don't think it'll keep the hammer the hammer's the nail. That's not what it is. Into wrestling's coffin, but you never know.
Now I got a question for you, Sean. You were talking, and a lot of your basis for comparison on the rise of MMA and the pretty much the slow death of wrestling. You're bringing up the big companies' stance and the big companies' actions. What do you think the cause and effect has been on just the indie scene, where when you started out, for example, just guys that I know of from before I even started from Florida, had you and Joe and Bruce and Lex and Buck and Steve and, Navy SEAL and Cuban and all those guys. And now, when you look at an indie locker room, it's a lot of the people that look like they should be watching the show are now stars in the show. Do you think that and the lack of people wanting to get better, wanting to go to the gym and get big, wanting to buy gear and look the part and just saying, well, hey, I can go out here like this and my buddy will book me because it's his company. Do you think that was just as instrumental in kind of the downturn in wrestling in general? Or do you think that the fact that the average wrestling fan only knows of WWE and maybe TNA, that it didn't really make that big of a deal?
Well, the worst part, here's what happened. When I got into wrestling, it was before it was kayfabe. You had to hunt down a wrestling school, and not everybody was allowed in that wrestling school.
Right.
After Vince, came out and said it was fake, anybody with $200, and any two-bit wrestler that ever had a match, a job match on WWF back in the day, is now opening up their own school.
Right.
That did have a huge effect on wrestling. When the people in the crowd, when the fans in the crowd feel like they can kick the ass of the wrestler in the ring, there's a problem.
Right.
But you know what though? That's not the owner of the school's fault. That's not his fault. the problem is the promoters. Promoters are, and I don't even want to call them promoters because half, I wouldn't even say half, I'd say 90% of these guys don't know how to promote a show.
Right, they never do.
Yeah, they have a street team that goes out and put out flyers, maybe. You know, and everybody wants to make a big show by advertising on Facebook or the message boards or whatever, and that's not going to work. You know, and what happens is because they can't pay any talent, they'll grab the, you know, the 170-pound kid or, you know, the 150-pound kid put in who has a pair of kick pads and some, you know, or less than that, comes out in a T-shirt, and which is the biggest pet peeve of mine, jean shorts or and a wife beater or something like that. You know, and because they don't have to pay them, I'll put them on the show. You know, and it's most of what needs to happen, there needs to be a flood of biblical proportions to wash away the excrement that's left in wrestling right now. And that starts at the top and works all the way to the bottom.
I think Danny would agree with you on that one.
Yeah, the world, the wrestling world especially needs a lot more Sean Murphy's, a lot more, well, Bruce Santee 3 years ago, because Bruce beat the living shit out of me in the ring. Because I ran off at the mouth because I was a stupid green kid, you know, and I still am a green kid, but I learned a lot that day. And, you know, the, one of the things now is people don't even care anymore. You know, they're not willing to do it. They either, you know, they've moved on or they're just so just done that they're like, you know, show up, do their deal and leave. And every once in a while you'll catch word of them, you know, throwing somebody around that deserves it. But I agree with you, Sean, you know, there needs to be a flood to just wash all that crap away.
My first match was against Blackheart Dave Johnson. He was one of the guys that trained me, him, Casey Thompson, Clifford Sheets. They were the exterminators down here in Florida. My first match, Dave Johnson clotheslined me so hard I couldn't swallow for 3 days. He kicked me so hard in the spine that my fingers and toes tingled for about 20 minutes after the match. There is no more respect in wrestling, and that's what the problem is. And what happens is, say you do have a guy like, you know, like a Bruce Santee who, you know, there's a guy that comes in who weighs 170 pounds, runs off at the mouth, and Bruce whoops his ass. So now Bruce is a bully. You know, regardless of whether the kid deserved it or not, the bottom line is it's the fans invaded wrestling.
Right.
And which is funny because if anybody that knows me, I was never a fan of wrestling as a kid. You know, I'd watch it once in a while when it came on, but, you know, I was all about, you know, monsters and football. You know, a creature feature and, you know, watching Notre Dame or the Buffalo Bills play. I happened into wrestling, you know, and everything that I learned was by my, you know, Joe's side or at the feet of veterans. You know, I got to pick the brain of, you know, Dusty Rhodes. Once, you know, I got to pick the brain of Rocky Johnson. You know, all these guys, I got to, you know, Rusty Brooks, all these guys, because I didn't know about it, I wanted to find out about it. Nobody cares about the history of wrestling anymore.
Well,
Go ahead,
John. Do you think the bigger change would come from the top down, say, if the larger companies were more focused on wrestling more so than, you know, ratings or maybe selling merchandise? Or do you think the change starts from the bottom? If the independents all got better, would that pool of talent sort of eventually just sort of ride to the top and sort of force a change from the larger companies?
You know, I don't think so. I think it needs to be an over. It's one of those things. Even if WWF said, okay, you know, we're going back to being a wrestling company tomorrow, we're done with these stupid storylines. We're done. You know, we're done with the Goo Goo Gaga. We're going back to wrestling. it can't just be in one place. It has to be a movement, you know. I guess the best place for it to be for it to start would be the independents. But the bottom line is most people don't know about the independents. When you think about it, Danny, when you tell somebody, hey man, you know, I'm a pro wrestler, what's the first question they ask you?
You mean like MMA or that fake wrestling?
Exactly. for the WWF or WWE?
Yeah.
No, so not for WWF. You end up spending a half an hour explaining to them, well, there's WWF and then there's the independents, blah, 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 blah. You know,
I tell them I'm gay and end the conversation.
What's that?
Just tell them that I'm gay and end the conversation.
Well, you know, whatever's a shoot, brother, you got to do what you got to do.
But yeah, I definitely know what you're saying. You know, you hear, you know, you got it's just trying to stop and explain to them. No, you know, you got the big leagues, and then you got the indie scene, which is kind of, and they're like, well, who wrestles there? And I'm finally like, look, so just come to a show or stop asking me questions.
Yeah, and this is probably going to hurt you guys when I say this, but the independents just don't matter anymore, man. They don't matter. There's not enough support from the fans. There's not enough promoters that'll bring fans in. It's, you know, a local MMA show nowadays are drawing, you know, 1,000 people, and they're getting 25, 50 bucks a head. It's just, how can an independent wrestling company compete with that?
Yeah, it's hard.
Well, what do you think? Is there anything that can change in the indies that will make people care again and make you know, potentially someone actually matter as far as competing with the bigger companies? Because, you know, I don't think TNA is really viable competition to WWE, and Ring of Honor is too much of a niche thing to appeal to a lot of those people. So do you think there's anything that all the different indies can do, or any in particular indie that to stand out and maybe actually rise up to, you know, some level, maybe like ECW got to or something?
What I think the answer is I think the answer is reality. And I don't mean like reality TV. I mean real storyline. Look what happened last summer with CM Punk, you know, quote-unquote shooting on the company right before he's supposed to leave.
Right.
Hottest thing in wrestling in the last 5 years.
And it lasted 3 weeks.
Yeah, until they squashed it. But and to go on a smaller scale, look what happened with the NWA heavyweight champion and the Sheik and junior championship and Craig Classic. You know, it got a buzz for a little while. You know, and people were like, "What's going on?" You know, because it was real. If you want to save independent wrestling, it needs to be real. And that's, you know, or at least go back to kayfabe where it seems realer than it really is.
You mentioned earlier that one thing that appeal, or one thing that makes MMA different or better maybe, is that there are weight classes, so you don't have to, you know, Rey Mysterio doesn't have to fight the Big Show for the heavyweight title. But in wrestling, you know, one of the criticisms, especially in WWE, is that there are too many title belts already. So do you think bringing back like a cruiserweight belt or something would help with that? Or would that just be another title that doesn't mean a whole lot?
You know what it comes down to is realism. In what world? You guys tell me, you guys explain this to me. And don't get me wrong here, because I'm going to preface this by saying this. Brian Danielson, or Daniel Bryan, what are they calling him there?
You call him whatever
Daniel
you want.
Yeah.
But I know him as Brian Danielson, okay? He's one of the coolest people I've ever met in wrestling. Nice guy. Guy could out-wrestle anybody, okay? Out-wrestle anybody I know. Has incredible charisma. But in what world do you see him beating either a Mark Henry or a Big Show?
I don't.
Exactly. And if you don't believe, the fan needs to believe that can happen. That is what that is right there is that is an impossibility. And when you, it's just like anything. If you talk down to somebody, they're not gonna swallow what you're telling them. And that's what's going on is people are wrestling is talking down to the fans.
Right.
And that's a bad idea. Sure, you know, just because it's, you know, things are predetermined or whatever does not mean we can just give them anything. We have to give them a real situation in the ring. And Bryan Danielson beating either of those two, let alone both of them in one night, is ridiculous. And what I think the problem is WWF doesn't have enough wrestlers writing. Actually, they don't have any wrestlers writing for them.
No, they don't. They don't want people that are into wrestling to be part of their creative team. They want sitcom writers and stuff like that.
Exactly, because it's worked out so well for them now.
Yeah.
You know? Think about it. When wrestling was at its peak in the late 90s, early 2000, wrestlers were involved in the storylines. It wasn't script writers; it was themselves, and that's what wrestling was back in the day. It was on the wrestler's shoulders to get over with the crowd. It's no longer on the wrestler's shoulders; it's on the writer's shoulders to give the wrestler the right thing to say. And the independents, 99% of a locker room doesn't know how to get over. All they care about is getting in 14 kablooey drivers, killing, you know, in the first match and killing any heat that any of the matches could have after that.
Did you say kablooey drivers?
I said kablooey drivers. That's what I call any of these things that looks like you're killing somebody.
I think that's some of the stuff that Professor Morte was talking about at the Monstrosity show that's coming up.
I don't know, but was not finished.
What's that?
I said Kapalooey Driver is the new name of my finish.
Now you just have to figure out what it looks like.
Oh, something stupid that looks like death that a 180-pound kid shouldn't be able to do to anybody, but does because... He's a mark.
And make sure you don't use that as the finish. You don't pin him after that.
That's right. They don't pin him with a schoolboy.
Make sure he kicks out of that move.
Yeah.
Would it be your opinion that you're talking about kind of with the Daniel Bryan and Mark Henry thing, would it be your opinion that that's just overused or should it never be used? I guess I'm asking from the standpoint of do you not believe that a small guy like a Bryan versus a larger guy could tell the story just in the ring and make you believe that, hey, there is a chance that he might could win, or do you just think that shouldn't be done ever?
No, there's a chance if the little guy isn't the heel.
Gotcha.
He's the little engine that could, but the moment you put the little guy in the heel, the heel role where the heel controls the match, and when you put the little guy in the heel's role, it's right there. It's unbelievable. So this guy's going to be the bully?
That's what I was thinking, too, because I was going to say the one time that I saw that scenario that really, really, really seemed believable to me was when I was little and was watching Flying Brian Pillman and Sid Vicious in this 6-7-month-long feud. And you always thought that Brian Pillman could do it. You always thought he could pull it out, and he did once or twice. But that scenario was really good because Pillman was the baby face and Sid Vicious was the dickhead. But with Brian, like you said, with Brian as the heel, it doesn't make any sense.
Right. And I'll give you an even more recent version of that it worked well. I'd say it was probably about 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. I don't know. I can't remember. But it was Jeff Hardy versus The Undertaker in a ladder match.
Yeah.
And where it was like, but you know what? It's The Undertaker. The Undertaker can make you believe anything. But
right.
But that match where Undertaker went to powerbomb Jeff Hardy, and Jeff Hardy brought the chair up and hit him in the head and was climbing, like, you, as a fan, you could be like, oh, my God, this is going to happen. He's going to beat The Undertaker.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's something that a sitcom writer wouldn't think about. They think of situations. They don't think of realism.
Right. Well, guys, we need to wrap up the show. If anyone has another quick question for Sean, go ahead.
I got one real quick. Sean, have you made your decision? I know you talked about it publicly, so are you going to Japan, or have you made your mind up yet?
Well, I think I'm going to – we're looking at a summer thing. If I can make it work with my schedule, which I'm pretty sure I can, because I am supposed to go to Brazil this year to train for a week with about 47 black belts.
Nice.
Yeah, but I'm trying to make it work with my schedule, and it looks like I'm gonna do it for. I'm 99.9% sure I'm gonna go ahead and do it.
Sweet. So will you be going to Sean Murphy, or will you be going to Sean Murphy or King Kong Fu?
Who's King Kong Fu?
I have no idea. Some jive turkey.
Yeah, some jive turkey. No, it would be Sean Murphy.
Glory dropper.
And he would yell it out before he did it too.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, man. Good luck to you, and for me, I really appreciate you calling in, especially on a short notice.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah. By the way, plug your BJJ MMA radio show.
Oh, yeah. Sunday nights, you guys can hear me. I have a two-hour radio show, 8 to 10 p.m. You can log in, www.wpbr1340am.com. Yesterday we talked to Anthony Pettis and Tony Savo, who's Coalition Fight Music, but Showtime Anthony Pettis was on the show last night, and we always have a slew of guests that call in, so anytime, if you guys want to listen to some fat guy talk about MMA, please log in.
All right, well, I appreciate you coming on, and I appreciate Danny Only getting in touch with you last minute like that, so good luck with all of your various endeavors, and look forward to hearing how everything goes in Japan, if you can call in sometime in the future.
Yeah, sounds good, for sure.
All right. Thank you.
All right, take care, Sean.
All right, love you guys.
So I didn't expect our two interviews to have so much in common, but oddly enough, they both talked about guys who can't wrestle, and the sad state of current wrestling, and various other things. So that turned out pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go now because I'm sunburnt, and I'm going to need to go rub the lotion on my skin.
All right. Well, I will mention the other Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network shows. Ringside Wrap is Wednesdays at 8 with Rich Tate, Les Thatcher, and Mike Sempervive. Peach State Pandemonium is Thursdays at 8 with Mike Norris, Jerry Oates, and Bobby Simmons. Midnight Black Mass is Fridays at midnight with Reverend Dan Wilson. And Ohio Valley Wrestling Overview is Sundays at 2 once a month with Larry Goodman, Trent Vendrees, and Muhammad Ali Vaez. One last time, I want to remind everyone that the Wrestling with Pop Culture Anniversary Show with Monstrosity Championship Wrestling will be at Masquerade on March 28th. And I guess that's it for now. So we will be back next week when our guest will be someone Danny Only mentioned earlier, Bruce Santee, another Florida guy. And we'll have Talent and Money on, which is a tag team that's going to be in the Will Grayson Memorial. And I think Danny's going to have his tag team partner, Strychnine, call in as well. So we will have all that next week. And I'll see you Friday, Matt.
Yes, sir.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. See ya.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.